Today on Seculo, Iran releases a video depicting the explosion of the U.S. Capitol while the Biden administration still seeks a deal on nuclear weapons. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
So that is true, by the way. The Ayatollah gave a speech May 2nd in Iran to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And in the video, maybe you call it like a deranged hype video that you'd see in the U.S. before like a college football game. In this video, you see a lot of, again, Iran using CGI, so using technology to make it look like the U.S. Capitol is exploding. This is important in context because as they lead into a new election there in June, and we've got the Biden administration seeking in any way possible to get into some kind of direct negotiations with Iran on a nuclear deal while they are still, at the same time, on their in what they're showing to the public in Iran, and let's start playing it for people now, and I can explain it for our radio listeners. So in this video, it's to commemorate the death of Soleimani, the leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, taken out by the Trump administration. And then in that video, it shows the U.S. Capitol completely exploding, like a giant bomb went off inside. And then, again, this is, and of course, it has information about Jerusalem as well. But the context
is the United States.
The context here is, we think we can get into a nuclear deal with a country who again, is dreaming about the day they can blow up our capital.
So there's a legal question, too, that arises in this context, and that is, does this depiction constitute an act of aggression? That's a threat, clearly. And at the same time, as a threat, so we're looking at that under international law and the law of armed conflict and law of war. But look at the messaging. Now, there's a report that there's about to be this breakthrough between Iran and the United States in Vienna on the nuclear deal, like any day now. And at the same time, the Iranian regime, as Jordan just went through, is putting up video of the United States Capitol exploding. And then we'll talk about the John Kerry connection to all this in a little bit. But put yourself in the position that we are. This is why in the world would we be at the table negotiating with anyone, especially in the Middle East? We've had a lot of experience in that. Negotiating, Andy, with the Iranians while they're showing depictions to their people of the U.S. Capitol blowing up.
Well, if we had any sense, we wouldn't be. You don't negotiate with terrorist regimes, and you certainly don't negotiate at the same time as they're showing videos and pictures of our capital being blown to bits from the inside with Ali's army. You would leave that and you would let and say, I don't negotiate with terrorists and I have no desire to do this talking with you in Vienna or anywhere else in the world. But yet we persist in thinking that we can bring these people to the table and come up with some plan that is palatable to all concerned. That is nonsense. It's not going to happen. This is a terrorist regime, and that's all they know is force and evil.
And I think what you have to realize that if you're the United States, even if you wanted to get into this deal, if this country is still willing to put this kind of propaganda out showing the explosion of the U.S. Capitol, that kind of imagery directed, it's not just directed at Israel, this is directed right at the United States of America. If that's the kind of imagery they're going to use, why on earth would you trust any deal? They didn't comply with it last time. Why would you even go into thinking? Why are we not thinking about how can we add extra sanctions on Iran today after what they that propaganda video? They are an enemy of the United States. They're an enemy of freedom. They're an enemy of democracy. They're an enemy of Israel. They're an enemy of our Sunni allies in the region. They are housing terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. We talked about that earlier this week. This should not be a nation that is even close to, as we talked about, getting into direct negotiations with the United States and having any sanctions relief whatsoever. So we'll take your calls on that. 1-800-684-3110 in Capitol Hill. Following up on what the ACLJ filed, is looking to get more info from the Biden administration and the White House counsel and Secretary Blinken on what John Kerry was up to with sharing those details with the Iranians.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we played that propaganda video. We've explained that the U.S. is, and we've got our Secretary of State overseas trying to get this deal moving with Iran, getting the U.S. back into the JCPOA, which is the Iranian nuclear deal, which, remember, I mean, I want to go back to people and explain what that was. Two pages of bullet points.
Yeah.
No signatures.
Nope.
No formalities.
Not an agreement.
No formalities. Not like on...
Not real, a treaty.
Like, this is a congressional, like, letterhead you might be able to see if you're watching.
No.
No formality letterhead either. It just said, like, JCPOA.
The Iranians would not do it. Iranians refused to enter into what we would call a binding international agreement. And because of that, they were able to basically violate it.
It was a plan of action.
Yeah, it was a plan of action. It was meaningless. And, of course, the Iranians violated immediately, and President Trump wisely pulled out of it. They were already violating it when the United States was in it. So why would you think they would, you know, not violate it when you're out of it? I mean, it was ridiculous. Now, the Iranians are promoting a video showing the United States Capitol being blown apart, literally, and... At the same time, there's an expected announcement that we're going to have some arrangement coming out between the United States and Iran on a nuclear back into the JCPOA. Now, here's what Joe Lieberman said about this. This was interesting. Take a listen, number 28.
We will not ever achieve any progress with Iran unless we remain tough. Iran is fundamentally an extremist and lying country. You can't trust them.
You can't trust them. They're a lying country. They're the largest state sponsor of terror. And John Kerry, the climate envoy, who's got this, you know, unique relationship with Zarif, Wes, continues to, you know, during the Trump administration was meeting. We know it now. By the way, we're in federal court. I'm holding it up right here. We're in federal court right now against the State Department on this whole matter with John Kerry. So we took action. We're in court on this. You wrote a piece for the ACLJ website, which says Iran cannot be trusted. What about John Kerry?
Yeah, I think John Kerry cannot be trusted either because he is a confidant of Iran. And what I said in the article, I talked about the fact that he did share classified information with Iran about Israel trying to defend itself in Syria. And so as the backdrop of this article, what I talk about is the history of Iran. Of course, they have violated the Iran nuclear deal from the get-go. The Iran nuclear deal itself is hollow. It does not keep them from getting a nuclear weapon. It delayed it for about a decade. Meanwhile, Israel last year discovered in their warehouse raid that Iran, through all of these years, has continued to do research and development on obtaining a nuclear weapon. Just last week, German intelligence came through and said they are still doing this. And of course, we have Iran violating the UN resolution about them not testing ballistic missiles. They are still testing them. They give technology on guided missiles to Hezbollah and Hamas. They are destabilizing the Gulf states. Just last month, they signed a new agreement with China, our other adversary, in which they will share not only military training, but they will share military intelligence. And of course, Iran is responsible for the killing and wounding of thousands of American troops while they're in Iraq. So my question in the article is this: why does John Kerry treat Israel as an adversary and Iran as an ally? And what is giving legs to this story about him sharing the intelligence is his relationship with Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran. He met with him multiple times when he was no longer the Secretary of State.
During the Trump administration.
So he's a confidant, Jay, not only of Joe Biden and the Biden administration and now on the National Security Council. He is also obviously a confidant of Zarif. And through him, he is a confidant to the senior leaders in the Iranian regime.
You know, Pat Toomey, Republican senator from Pennsylvania, responded to this footage that has been released by our friends at Memory, which is a great group. We visited their facilities in Israel. This footage, which shows the Iranians, you know, blowing up the U.S. Capitol, he said that, let me read the quote. Last week, Iran's chief diplomat allegedly admitted that the IRGC, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, calls the shots in Tehran, not the elected government. No shock there. Now Iran releases a video of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard allegedly blowing up our capital. The Biden administration's priority should be ensuring Iran cannot carry out such an attack, not capitulating by removing sanctions. From a policy perspective here, the problem is we have moved right back into this hairy capitulation mode of consensus, with the world consensus, and certainly not America first, that's for sure.
That is absolutely correct. So the key question is whether or not John Kerry and the Biden administration are prepared to put American interests first or the global agenda first. John Kerry has already disconnected China's human rights abuses from so-called climate change negotiations. It appears now that the Biden administration is prepared to disconnect its continued negotiations to return to the Iran nuclear deal, to disconnect that from Iranian aggression, Iranian terror, and Iran's failure to put a peace on the table. Instead, what is Iran doing? Iran is threatening implicitly, I admit this is a video, but they're threatening to blow up the nation's capital. And so the question for the Biden administration is what constitutes sufficient provocation so that the United States is prepared to withdraw from any discussions with the Iranians? Apparently, the answer is nothing will stop them from caving to Iran.
Yeah, and Sunday, President Rouhani also declared Jordan that the U.S. had lost its economic war with Tehran, saying the sanctions against the country are at the brink of extermination. They are playing us like a fool.
I mean, the brink of extermination would only be if we remove the sanction.
Right.
So the only way they exterminate the sanctions is if the Biden administration takes the sanctions away. But see how they spin that as their power, not our power. It's our power. We could continue to cripple this regime economically. We could make it hard for them to survive, hard for them to feed their kids, even the highest level. Hard to bring in food, hard to bring in gas, hard to bring in electricity, rolling blackouts, all those things. Poverty up, crime up. We could push that pressure. Soleimani's already dead. His replacement is not the same kind of guy. They've got this upcoming presidential election. Usually that can also turn a little hectic as well. We could be encouraging all of that, encourage chaos. And instead, they're saying we're about to win this.
Yes.
We're about to win this, so, and we're going to put out videos of blowing up your capital.
Yeah, that's a great negotiation. That's a group you want to
go to
the table with.
They're saying we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, well, yes, but they're running complete roughshod. Now, Than, the letter, we've got a letter from our friend Senator Grassley to Secretary Blinken, which he asks a series of questions, which I'll go over in a moment. including did Secretary Kerry retain a security clearance? Did Secretary Kerry ever use a security clearance to access sensitive and classified information? As a condition of his security clearance, was the secretary required to disclose his meetings with Zarif, which are now public? We know that these meetings took place for other foreign officials. With respect to the three or four meetings the secretary had with Zarif, when and where were those meetings held and what was discussed? And then in light of the recent reporting, have you begun security inquiry and review of Secretary Kerry's potential mishandling and improper disclosure of sensitive classified information? These are serious, serious questions being raised here. What is the sense of congressional action here?
Yeah, it's Congress taking it to the next level, Jay. I mean, last week you had a number of members of both the House and the Senate actually calling for John Kerry's resignation over this. That obviously has not happened. So now Senator Grassley has sent these two letters, one to Secretary Blinken, one to the Inspector General. And then the Republican members of the Oversight Committee in the House, led by James Comer, have sent a similar letter to the White House counsel. Basically, Jay, they want to know why John Kerry still has a security clearance and what information and when he sent to Zarif. Jay, I think it's really important. While all this is happening, here's what the foreign minister of Iran, Zarif, is saying. He is saying, I believe Iran and the U.S. will never be friends as long as the Islamic Republic preserves its identity. Never will our issues with America be resolved. You know, that's John Kerry's buddy, Jay. Yeah,
here's the thing, Andy, really quick here, and that is, let me tell you, it's the Disraeli quote that I reference so often. These regimes understand one thing, power. You could have diplomacy as power, but you got to have power, and this is not power.
No, Jay, we know from our dealings in the Middle East that the only way that you can get any attention is by the exercise of power and by the exercise of force and authority. If I was negotiating with you and you showed a video of the United States Capitol being blown up and the rhetoric that accompanied that, I would get up and walk away from the table and say, you're not serious, you're terrorists. Just like Joe Lieberman said, this is a lying country, a country that you cannot understand among the rational nations of the world. Why we continue to negotiate with them in Vienna or anyone else, it boggles my mind on why we continue to literally suck up to the Iranians. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else as we go to the break, Jordan. The words that accompany the video are also something else. The leader wants a vigilant and strong nation. With Ali's army, we will destroy the palace of oppression. And that palace of oppression was the United States Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, the focus is more on the U.S. than even Israel and Jerusalem in this video. They mentioned that, but they really, the imagery is the U.S. Capitol exploding. And they're the ones claiming that they're about to beat us on the sanctions because we're going to release the sanctions on Iran. And they're going to get a deal again with the U.S. so they can be back on the world stage. This is wrong. We've got congressional committees. We've got our action on what Kerry was doing. But we've got to stay vigilant here, folks. We'll be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Interesting question that came in off of YouTube. If you got questions too on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, put those in. Producers will get those to us. But Kim on YouTube wrote, do we know if Secretary of State Blinken or Biden or Harris have seen this propaganda video? Now, it just came out. I don't know if they have.
I can't imagine they haven't.
And I have a feeling it won't impact them the way it impacts us, because they will say this. They're just talking to their domestic audience. They got to keep their people under control. They've got to show the rhetoric like that, especially if they're about to get in a deal with the U.S., so they have to act tough. But we know that most of their domestic audience would like these guys gone. So that's bogus. Well,
so the normal...
This is how they scare their people.
Yeah, this is the political reality of what this is, and I think that's what you have to look at here from the Iranian... And you're dealing with the Middle East, and like I said, we have an office in Jerusalem. We've done a lot of these negotiations. Here's the thing that's going on. They are saying one thing with one hand, with one side of the mouth, so to speak, and another with the other side of the mouth. Now, here's the problem. The evidence that they put forward is the evidence of the United States Capitol being destroyed. They're saying, like Jordan said, they're playing to their domestic audience. But we know for a fact, Harry, that the domestic audience in Iran wants the Ayatollahs gone. The Iranian people want the Islamic regime removed. The Islamic Republic of Iran is not what the vast majority of the Iranian people support. It's an oppressive regime. It's a terrorist regime. So this idea that they're saying, we'll negotiate with you, but you understand why we're showing the Capitol blowing up, but we've got to keep who in line? The hardliners? Well, the hardliners are in line because they can do whatever the Ayatollah says. So this, the normal rules of engagement or the rules of propaganda, so to speak, or in multilateral diplomacy really do not apply with the Iranians because they don't play by any of those rules.
Absolutely. So I think what's imperative to know is that the Biden administration, in my view, is prepared to subvert the interest of the American people, but they are equally prepared to subvert the interest of the Iranian people. In other words, what are the members of the Biden administration doing? They are elevating the Ayatollahs. They are elevating those individuals who are interested in aggression. And guess what? They are interested, in my view, in rewarding Iranian aggression. They are interested in rewarding the Iranians when they build ballistic missiles that are capable of hitting Israel or potentially the United States. Why? Because the Biden administration is committed to a globalist agenda.
Yeah, the Biden administration wants to believe some things about Iran that are obviously not true. When they have rallies there in Tehran and the lackeys of the regime are there in these faux demonstrations, there is a reason that they shout death to America, because they actually mean it. And the Biden administration is acting as if, well, they don't really mean that. In fact, they do. And while we should be increasing sanctions and sticking by our guns and be a tough negotiator with them, they do want to destroy our country. We should be doing that instead of considering, lifting sanctions on them.
But doesn't this violate diplomacy 101, Andy, when you're negotiating for such weakness?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what the problem is. You're negotiating from a position of weakness. Whoever you're negotiating with, whatever thing you're trying to resolve or to settle, you don't negotiate from a position of weakness, and that's exactly what's happening. And especially you don't do that in the Middle East. You and I have negotiated deals in the Middle East, Jay, for years. We negotiated sensitive deals involving Israel, religious organizations, the Patriarchate, and so forth. You always negotiate from a position of power and authority, not from a position of weakness as an underling coming to the table, begging, supplicating. Supplicants don't get anything.
Well, I think this is how, if you wanted to negotiate with Iran, the Trump administration did not. They were putting the sanctions on, squeezing the Iranian government.
And really
hurting them. Let's say you wanted to negotiate with Iran. There was some reason you needed to outside of the nuclear issue that you thought we needed to handle for our own national security that was positive. I think the best way to approach this kind of attitude is you do what you did to Soleimani times 10 and say, keep the sanctions on and say, okay, we'll talk now. But just to show them what you're capable of doing. if they break something. So you take out enough of their leaders, you leave some, and you say, you mess with us on this, this is what we do. We don't have to go in with massive ground troops. We could take your whole country out in a matter of moments, just like we just took out five of your top leaders. You don't have we have the edge.
Right.
So if you want to talk to us, no, you break the rules, we make the rules about what happens if you do.
Here's a sobering thing, though. Every indication, every signal this week is that the Biden administration is going to lift the sanctions.
Yes.
Our diplomats are doing, they're shuttling back and forth to our Gulf state allies to try and reassure them. Last week, they sent senior delegations from Washington to Israel to try and reassure them. Every signal, every indication is, in spite of all of this evidence, they are actually going through with this, Jay. They're going to lift the sanctions of the world's leading sponsor of terror, who is calling for the destruction of our nation. They're going to go through with it.
And in Congress, with the situation it's in, then, are they capable of really doing anything to stop this?
Not really, Jay. I mean, this was a decision made by the Obama administration more than 10 years ago. And we said on this broadcast that if you confirm Jake Sullivan and Wendy Sherman to go over there and negotiate, what are you going to get? You're going to get the same thing they negotiated last time. So, Jay, I think this push for information on John Kerry, this is Congress doing what it can do. Remember, it's the chief executive that decides who gets access to classified information. That obviously was a poor decision.
Harry, the policy has been that the senior administration officials, when they leave, they still have their security clearance. But here you got a situation that's very unique, and that is John Kerry is out discussing sensitive matters, apparently, with our adversary.
Absolutely. And apparently the Biden administration does not care and, in fact, wants to continue to encourage this. I think John Kerry has always believed, even when President Trump was in office, that President Obama or President Obama's team was going to return. He continued to act that way, and he acted as if he were the Secretary of State in waiting and that he was going to determine U.S. policy. So far, the Biden administration has proven John Kerry absolutely correct.
What do you think the political reason? I mean, they just want to deal because of the politics?
I think it's just to bring back what Obama had. This is about the Obama legacy as much as it is Joe Biden. So I think all he's trying to really do is restore the status quo under Obama, which was the Iranians weren't complying, but it was, we were in a deal with all of Europe and the Europeans. We all loved, you know, we're working together, just like what we've been talking about over and over again. This idea of re-entering the world as a, not as the superpower again, but as one of the actors with the Europeans. And I think it's much about restoring the Obama legacy, because this was the central foreign policy achievement. The Arab Spring did not go well. Yes, they did kill bin Laden. Biden was against that military action. But this was their big crowning, you know, deal. It got stripped away immediately by President Trump. They put it back. I think that Biden, that's why he's so committed to this. And his staff, this was their deal too.
Oh, no. This is the staff from the State Department that got promoted out of the White House.
Yeah, or to Secretary of State, you know, so... or to the National Security Council. So they want this deal back because it was their deal. And it's like they have blinders on to reality.
Yeah. We have filed a federal lawsuit at the American Center for Law and Justice. ACLJ versus the United States Department of State. That happens because of your support of the ACLJ. We encourage you to stay engaged with us. ACLJ.org if you want to support the work. But also, great way to get information on our Facebook pages, on our Twitter feeds, other social media outlets as well, YouTube. Go to ACLJ.org, sign up for our newsletters, stay engaged and informed on these issues. Back with more, second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.